Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
It is truly hard to think of a time when Dua Lipa wasn't one of pop's biggest names. From a Barbie banger to being the soundtrack to pretty much everybody's lockdown, she seemed to have conquered the world after just two albums. So what is next for Dua? And is her third album set to keep the party going? Well, joining us to discuss all things Dua Lipa is DJ, pop culture enthusiast, and host of the Request Show on 2FM. It's Mr. Connor Bean.
Hello, how are we going? Opera enthusiast. Oh my goodness.
I threw that one in myself.
Thank you for that.
It is mad. I'm incredibly excited to talk about Dua Lipa because she's one of my favorite pop stars of all time. And we know that she's a huge star now. Mm-hmm. Everybody, whether they like it or not, has heard of her.
She's an A-lister, for sure.
Exactly. She's only 28.
I know.
So that means she has to have been knocking around for a long, long time.
She started pretty young, basically. She grew up in London with her brother and her sister and her parents. Her parents had actually fled Kosovo due to the war there in the early 90s. And her dad, who's now her manager, had been a musician. And his love of music, I think, got to Dua because she was singing when she was like a kid, basically. When she was 11, her family moved back to Kosovo for a while. And at 15, she convinced her family that her move back to London on her own. She stayed with friends and family back in London so she could start work on her singing career. And so by 2013, which is mad to think because we're now in 2024, so like 11 years ago, she was uploading covers on places like SoundCloud and YouTube. And she was also doing some modeling work. And one of her first ever gigs was an ad for the X Factor in 2013, where she sang a cappella. We have a small clip of this. This is like, she sounds amazing, but it's surreal to listen to now.
Have you ever seen some people lose everything? First go is their mind. Responsibility to me is a tragedy. I'll get a job some other time. I want to join a band and play in front of crazy fans. Yes, I call that temptation. Give me a melody that's
that is wild.
And I should, because obviously it's an ad, so it's visual, but like in the ad, she's meant to be in her back garden, hanging up the washing, and she's singing to herself, and then she becomes a star, and like it's hilarious. There's like a fake out where it looks like she's auditioned for the X Factor, which is mad to think about now. Like, would she have gotten four yeses? I don't know. I mean, she sounds amazing there. I think that's actually a reminder of how great her voice is, because she's like this glamorous A-list pop star now, you forget like this is someone who can really sing. So that happened in 2013, and that same year she signed with Tap Management, who work with acts like Lana Del Rey, Dermot Kennedy, who you just played a bit earlier, and Ellie Goulding, and started doing songwriting sessions. Signed with Warner Brothers Records the next year in 2014, and then by 2015 started putting out tracks like New Love was her first ever song. And she also released Be The One in 2015, which like didn't do a huge amount initially, but then became this big slow burn hit. And by the end of 2016 into 2017, it was suddenly everywhere. And I think it's, even though she's had a lot of great songs since, it's a great signature song for me.
This is 2016, 2017, when it kind of kicked off from her. So like it while we're like, wow, she's been around forever and she's been doing it for 10 years. If she signed to Warner in 2014, imagine the frustration on her end.
I know.
Kind of going like, oh, come on.
Well, it's funny you say that. So by 2016, she was touring. She actually made her Irish debut at the Academy. Fun fact, I interviewed her that day and met her that day. There's a photo of me in a makeup-free Dua Lipa somewhere I need to resurface. We both look like teenagers. I don't know how, but I will show you that after finished. She released tracks like Hotter Than Hell and Blow Your Mind. They did well, but I think her debut album was getting pushed back a lot. And actually, it's funny you mentioned the fact that it took a while because the album didn't come out until 2017, but that weirdly kind of worked in her favour. That self-titled first album had a song called New Rules, which they made a single and dropped a video for just after the album came out. And that is when things just went stellar because the video went viral, the song was a banger, and I think it really turned a corner for her.
It's one of those ones as well because music videos have kind of lost their pull and their appeal in the last couple of years, but this is one of those ones that just it resurfaced everywhere all the time and it's always coming up.
And that made it a huge hit worldwide. It was number one here in Ireland. Then she had a follow up single, IDGAF, that was a number one in Ireland. By the way, Dua has five Irish number ones. I was like, one of her biggest markets is Ireland. I was like, well, she should just move here. So she had two number one singles, and then of course in 2018 it was a massive moment when she wore Calvin Harris on One Kiss, which also is like a football chant. Have you seen the videos of lads like chanting along to this in stadiums and stuff? It's crazy. Anyway, that's true, the mark of another hit, I guess.
I'm also so obsessed with how your crossover of pop culture goes all the way over into football as well.
That's about as close as I'll ever get, so don't hold your breath. That was her third Irish number one in a row. It was the biggest song of 2018 on the UK charts as well. Although I don't know if you remember this, she's like, you know, having these massive hit singles. She's really breaking through. And she was at the Brits in 2018 and performed New Rules and I think One Kiss as well. And her dancing was not the best.
Oh, she got trolled.
It was little. It was a little, little wooden. And a comment on YouTube went viral. It said, "I love her lack of energy. Go, girl, give us nothing." That has now become one of those memes that people just say about, like, if I shuffled into work and wasn't high energy, you could say that to me. I'd know what you meant.
And the crowd went wild.
And the crowd went wild. So that was a famous meme that kind of happened at her expense. But, you know,
I've never seen someone reinvent themselves as much, though, because, like, that was tragic. And that was kind of nearly her gag, was that, like, okay, you can't be great at everything.
Yeah.
Like, you're stunningly beautiful.
Like, I'm hot, this. So.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? But as we have seen in recent times, her dancing has gone up a level. And massive. She's worked hard in it to make sure that she can deliver the full package.
Exactly. And I think she sort of had the last laugh in 2019, because when Don't Start Now was about to come out, she performed it at the MTV Europe Music Awards, and there's like a whole dance break in it, and she really killed it. And everybody was like, "Oh, you went away and worked on this." And she said in an interview since that comment wasn't great, but it kind of spurred her on to be like, "Well, I'm going to get really good at the dance now that I have a year off to work on it." So Don't Start Now was also, it became one of her signature songs, like another massive hit here in Ireland. And it was one of those songs that hung around. I think it was on the chart in America for like a basic year. Like, it just, that thing with Dua Lipa too, her songs hang around.
Yeah.
They don't just be big for 1 week. They're around for a while.
But she gives us enough of them, like, if we're being honest. Levitating as well.
I mean,
like, let's talk about that, because, like, that is a couple of different meanings to people because of when it dropped.
Yeah, right. Because if you think about it, we had Don't Start Now in 2019, and then early 2020 we got Physical, which was another big hit for her, and then heading into March of 2020, I don't want to bring the dreaded word up, but her second album, Future Nostalgia, was supposed to come out, and it was meant to come out in April. It leaked online early, and if you remember, at that time a lot of artists were pulling album releases, they were delaying albums, they were obviously cancelling tours. Dua decided to just bring the album out a couple of weeks early, so we got that on March 27th alongside Break My Heart, and the album was instantly really big, and it but also kind of grew legs over lockdown, and that's where Levitating came in, I think.
I know a lot of artists were pulling all their songs at the time, and for good reason, because you know, they were like, "Oh, we'll hold it off for a little bit longer because this is only going to go on for a month or two." She was very smart to just actually drop it because people had nothing else to do.
I think weirdly, she gave people this pop star fantasy escape world with this disco dance tinged album that we kind of used to, like, you know, ease our anxieties a bit over that period. So I think that's why, as things started to reopen, Levitating was this massive hit. It was the biggest song of 2021 on Billboard, which is the US charts, even though it never hit number one there. It was just so big on airplay, streaming, all that stuff, that it was the biggest song of that year. And then you think about, like, she did a remix album with the Blessed Madonna. She did Studio 2054, which was this live streamed concert where, like, Kylie and FK Twigs were there. And then in 2021, like, we had the Cold Heart remix with Elton John. And then, of course, she was in Ireland in 2022 for two shows at Three Arena on the Future Nostalgia Tour, which was incredible.
It was so good.
I saw the second night of it, I think, and I couldn't get over the crowd. And actually, we'll talk about her newsletter in a minute, but a friend of mine was working on her newsletter for a while, and I remember saying to him, "Oh, I saw the show in Dublin." He was like, "Oh, I was emailing her about something," and she said in passing, "Yeah, it was really loud in Dublin." Yeah. I was like, "Yes, we did it!"
It was, though. It was.
She meant that in a good way, I think.
She absolutely did. Like, the crowd didn't stop. They sang along to every single
song. She knew I was
song.
There. She remembered me. She was like, "You, 2016 at the back, I'm doing this one for you."
I was actually with Connor at one point, and he was like, "I'm really sorry, I have to go buy merch." And that's like, I'm expecting you to be wearing your merch right now, and you're not.
I'm going to an album event of hers in the weekend. I want to wear it then. I have to space out my Dua Lipa merch.
You mentioned her newsletter there. Talk to us about that, because it's a completely different side to her.
Yeah, like, you know, she's been outspoken on social issues over the years, whether it be like endorsing political candidates or speaking up on different causes. And she launched a newsletter called Service 95 in 2022, which is sort of a mix of recommendations from her, like her travels around the world, going, "Here are the place I like to eat if I'm in Dublin or if I'm in London, etc." But also, it's basically like a magazine. Like, there's maybe 6 or 7 articles each week from different writers on culture, politics, travel, all kinds of stuff. And then there's been a spin-off podcast where she's interviewed, like, pop stars like Billie Eilish and Charlie XCX, but also a lot of authors as well. And then also she's worked with the Booker Prize a lot the last couple of years and has her own book club now. So every celeb kind of diversifies anyway, but I found her choice is quite interesting because it's all about her going, "Here's my point of view and here's my taste level versus here's my personal life and everything about me," which I think is an interesting move in this era. Everyone is so confessional and wants to tell everything.
Yeah, she, but yeah, she's a great take on absolutely everything. Let's talk about obviously one of the biggest things that happened last year, and that was the Barbie movie. You couldn't get away from it. And, you know, Dua was a huge part of that.
Yeah, she helped basically launch the soundtrack, because if you remember, everybody was on that soundtrack album, but her track Dance the Night was the lead single. That was another number one for her here in Ireland and massive all around the world. And I think actually a great way to cap the Future Nostalgia run, because it sounds like a song from that era, but also it's tied to something different. And it got her a small cameo in the biggest movie of last year.
I loved her small cameo, her and
the
John
blue
Cena.
Wig. The blue wig. The less said, the better about the blue wig.
It really works. Album 3 is coming to us very, very soon.
It's out on Friday. It's called Radical Optimism. Obviously, our first taste of it was Houdini, which is a single that came out last November. She's worked on this album with a bunch of songwriters and a producer called Kevin Parker, who's from Tame Impala. And that kind of psychedelic, slightly... It's, she's called her team on this album The Band. She basically wrote it all with the same group of people, which is very rare in pop, the pop world, because usually it's like, I'll write with you and then write with that person, and then I'll go to a writing camp and six different writers will submit songs. This is an album that seems to be crafted with the same bunch of people, and it's all we've heard so far: Training Season, Illusion, which I know you played earlier, and Houdini, and they're all kind of up-tempo and dance flavoured like what we've heard before, but they also sound a little bit different to Future Nostalgia. I feel like she's trying to avoid just repeating herself but still give you a Dua vibe, which is usually danceable and actually optimistic and kind of uplifting, is sort of her vibe, I think, as well.
Yeah, and it works very, very well. I like when pop stars, like Kylie Minogue, I mean, she's reinvented herself all the time, but you always know that it's Kylie. It's the same with Dua. She just has that undertone of, okay, this is me, and you know who it is, but I'm going to give you something brand new all the time.
And I do think, actually, because obviously they have performed together and worked together, I do think that, like, Dua has that kind of Kylie energy of... She's kind of has a relatable and fun quality to her, but she's not telling it. Well, Kylie's quite private as well.
Yeah.
And he's good at kind of going, you fill in the blanks and relate to me how you want. And I think, look, Taylor Swift's an amazing artist, but I think that kind of era of pop has made everyone go, follow the clues. What ex am I talking about? That's about my best friend who I didn't speak to anymore. Whereas Dua's like, I'm going to dance and allude to an ex and I'll let you do the rest. Both are great, but I think Dua's style is actually a little bit old school. It's from a different era of stardom. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this on social media. She's not doing TikTok dances.
No.
She's not doing quote-unquote content. She's not like, my new song's out Friday, here's a dance. She's like, here's me looking insanely hot in 10 grid pictures. You figure out the rest.
You go to
That's like me as a social media manager. This is what we're going to do. You're going to post a picture.
Connor Bean, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people catch you?
You can catch me in the Request Show, Sundays from 6 and 2 FM. Probably listen to Houdini by Dua Lipa.
Love it so much. Thank you so much.
Jen Zamparelli on 2 FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.